verse is Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. The song we're going to sing always makes me think back to where I came from and the good work that he's still working on in me. And I'm so glad that at the age of 15 I received Jesus Christ as my Savior.
Amen.
Because I had no idea what my life would be like without him. But it's a scary thought. But with him, there is peace and happiness. So he made something beautiful in my life.
Still working on us to complete. And we praise the Lord for that. 1 Timothy chapter 5, turn with me there. I'm going to do what I don't always do, but I got to get out of this jacket today. The Lord Jesus Christ only founded one organization. What was that organization, that institution that he specifically promised to bless? It is the church. It is what we have and are experiencing this morning as you are the church gathered together, called out from this world in salvation, and assembled together here to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. David shared in Sunday school in the auditorium class this morning in that verse in Matthew 16:18, I say unto thee, Peter is talking about, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will build whose church? Jesus said, my church. It is his church. It's not the pastor's church. It's not the people's church. It's Jesus' church. It's his church that he has promised to build, and he has based it upon this rock, upon this rock. Peter was the little stone, but the rock, I believe, was that profession of truth that Peter gave, that word of truth about thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And upon that truth, upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, the church is built. What is that foundation of the prophets? Well, the foundation of the prophets, the Old Testament scriptures. The apostles, the New Testament scriptures. In other words, the church is built upon the Word of God. And that Word of God specifically is about the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God. We praise the Lord for that. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus Christ has built his church. The church is God's chosen channel through which he equips us as believers. He matures us into our walk with the Lord to be like the Lord Jesus Christ, and he prepares us as his children to serve him in this world. It is also the channel, the church is, the channel through which his truth, the gospel, is sent out into all of the lost world. We're to push away from the table and go out through the outside here and share the truth of God's word with the lost. If the church is to fulfill its calling, though, it must have qualified leadership. It's been said that the local church rises and falls on its leadership. It's also been said that churches do not rise higher than the level of their leadership. That's why it's important for pastors and even deacons, anyone in leadership in the church, it's important for us to make sure we maintain our walk with the Lord and our growth with the Lord, so that as he continues to work on us and make us into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, it will be some type of an example for another to follow. Paul said a couple times, follow me as I follow Christ. And I hope that that could be said of me as a pastor. I'm not perfect, but I'm seeking to pursue the goal. And so therefore, follow me as I follow Christ. It is a tremendous responsibility that goes with it. Please understand that what I'm about to share with you this morning is probably one of the most difficult passages I have to preach. Because you know why? It's talking about how you're supposed to treat your pastor. I don't like to talk about that. But it comes under all the counsel of God that he wants me to preach. And therefore, I'm going to share what's right in line with our study in the book of 1 Timothy. We're coming into these verses, verse 17 and following. And I've entitled this whole end of the passage here, The Treatment of Elders. Part one that we're going to look at this morning is honoring elders in verses 17 and 18. And the term elder, as we have learned, is a term that is used for the pastor or the under-shepherd of the church. And I'm going to divide these verses into three categories. It's only two little verses, but three categories. The who, what, and the why of elders. Father, I pray that you would help me to be able to share very clearly the truth that you've laid upon my heart, and that we would not only understand facts, but Lord, we would understand how you want us to behave and to live in light of these things. And we'll give you the praise and the glory for it all. In Jesus' name, amen. Who is this topic about here in verses 17 and 18? Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. Who is it that we're talking about here? Well, we're talking about the pastor, the elder, the bishop of the church. These three we've seen, whether we looked at the qualifications of pastor, back in chapter 3 of 1 Timothy, or in Titus chapter 1. We have them used, elder and bishop, interchangeably. All three of these titles for this position are seen together in a couple of places. The first one is over in Acts chapter 20. Here we have Paul bringing together a bunch of elders into Ephesus to meet him there, and he's speaking to these elders in Acts chapter 20, and in verse 28 he says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves." All right, he's speaking to these elders, these pastors, and he says, "I want you to take heed to yourselves." In other words, look out after your own walk with the Lord first. That's the first thing. Okay? You can't help others to look out where their walk is with the Lord until you first are looking at where yours is. And so he says, "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." Now, I'm going to break this down just so I hope you understand already that the word elder has to do with the leader. Timothy was to ordain elders in each church. They were the main leader. They were the pastor of the church, as we would call it. But there's the elder. It's not just of age. Timothy was a young man, okay? But it has to do not so much with longevity as mileage. You know what I'm saying? As the maturity level. There can be pastors that are quite young that are mature men and therefore qualified to be an elder of the church, a bishop, a pastor of the church. And so we have the elder position that is spoken of here. We also have the bishop, the overseer. He says there that the Holy Ghost has made you an overseer. It's the Greek word episcopus. It's translated in a position as bishop, but it means the overseer, the one that has been given the responsibility to look out over and to manage the operation of the church. That's the responsibility of this man, the elder, the bishop. And then there's the relationship of to take heed of yourself and take heed to all the flock. Who is the flock? What is a flock? The flock is talking about sheep, and the flock of sheep is talking about you, okay? And so there is the person that takes heed to the flock, that takes care of the flock. As we look into the actual sheep animal, who is it that takes care of the need and feeds the sheep? It is the shepherd. Who is the shepherd of the sheep? Quick, this is a trick question here, okay? Who is the shepherd of the sheep? Our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the good shepherd. We're told over in John 10, somewhere around verse 17 or so, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd." He is also the chief shepherd that we'll see. But he is the shepherd of the sheep. As a pastor, I am the under shepherd of the sheep. I have the responsibility under the Lord Jesus Christ to take care of the needs of the sheep, to feed the sheep, to be in that relationship. Out of all of the different titles, elder, or bishop, or pastor, shepherd, it's the pastor shepherd that is my heart best. Matter of fact, it's the pastor title that is used primarily from Baptist churches. And we see that responsibility so much. Yes, we're still an elder. Yes, we're still the bishop. But it is the pastor as a responsibility so much that we're interacting with the sheep and with the people, and the people make up the church. And so we have here this relationship seen in all three, the shepherd-sheep relationship and the elder and the bishop. And then another one over in the 1 Peter chapter 5. Peter is speaking here, and Peter says in verse 1, he says, "The elders which are among you I exhort." So here he is talking and speaking and exhorting or encouraging elders. And he says in verse 2, "Feed the flock of God." Now what we've learned of that? What part, what title would that be? It would be the pastor, the shepherd, the under-shepherd. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight. Now, the Greek word oversight here is not the word episkopos, as translated earlier for bishop, but it is the same type of word that means the same operation of taking the oversight, taking the leadership, the guidance of, not by constraint, in other words, not having to make you to do it there, but doing it willingly, he says, not for filthy lucre, in other words, not just to get money, but of a ready mind, an eagerness to serve is the idea. Neither as being lords over God's heritage. Let me stop there and just explain it this way. A lord over God's heritage is, in my eyes, one that I see that is getting in people's faces and saying, hey, you need to do this and you need to do that, and just pointing and telling people where to go. In other words, it's kind of like not a shepherd, but it's kind of like someone that drives cattle or drives pigs, unless you're Babe. Pigs don't normally follow unless you've got a bucket. But for the shepherd doesn't get behind the sheep and drive the sheep. The shepherd leads the sheep, and they follow him. Jesus said in John 10, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. I said, I know them. They hear my voice. They follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. My sheep, the ones that are genuinely saved, the ones that I give eternal life to that shall never perish, they hear my voice and they follow me. That's the shepherd. As the under-shepherd, I am to seek to lead in a similar way. That as believers, as part of the church, you would follow the guidance of the pastor and not have to be felt like that the pastor would have to drive something through. It should not be that way. It should not be approached that way. And so he says there that it is to be neither being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock, being an example. That's what an elder is to be. By testimony of the reputation of maturity, he is to be an example to be followed. And so it's important. And when the chief shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. So there is the elder, who is the bishop of this church, the overseer, and he is the shepherd of the sheep, the pastor of the congregation. These three are seen used interchangeably, and they're always speaking about that position. So that's the who that he's talking about here in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. What is to be done? And it says there that he is to be given double honor. What does that mean? The word honor has to do with respect. You've heard probably the term reverend. I've had some people call me Reverend Blackwell. I knew they didn't know me very well. Because not that I'm not should not have any reverence, but I don't care for that term at all. If it is known and they know you deserve it, okay, that's okay. But just to throw that on somebody you don't know because of a position, not so much. But there's a reverence there. We saw it first over in verse 4. Verse 3. In verse 3, it says, honor widows that are widows indeed. Honor, right? Give respect. But it was more than that, wasn't it? When we studied about them, there was a responsibility of the church to take care of financial strains that were upon them, financial needs that were there. And so when it says that the pastor should be honored, it's not only talking about respect, but it also is having a financial support tied to it. It's similar to the English word honorarium, that we use. Giving someone a financial stipend or something of nature for the work that's been accomplished. And so we have this word honor. Elsewhere in Scripture, it's translated actually as the word price. For instance, in Acts chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, it says, "But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession." Excuse me, y'all familiar with this? They sold a possession. What did they say that they would give it? All of it, but they didn't give all of it, and that was the problem. They lied. But they kept back part of the price. The word price there is the same word as honor translated here with the pastor. And so it is talking there not just about a respect, but about a remuneration that would be given. And then this also is obvious from the context in verse 18. In verse 18, there are two scriptures quoted. One from the Old Testament and one from the New. It says, "For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward." Now, the second part of that is actually in Luke chapter 10 and verse 7. Luke chapter 10 and verse 7, Luke writes, "And in the same house remain, eating and drinking such thing as they give." In other words, these were the apostles that were going out two by two, and they were not to worry about being able to feed themselves and take care of their financial needs. They were going to be invited in by some households and let the household take care of their financial needs and food, etc. Don't worry about that. "For the laborer," he goes on to say, "is worthy of his hire, of his reward." Now, let me say this also, a side note. You might not have caught this. But Paul says here, "The scripture saith," and quotes Old Testament, Deuteronomy, one of the Pentateuch, and Luke's gospel. Both he calls scripture. That's important to understand as well, the word of God. All scripture that's been given to us is inspired by God. So we have here the New Testament is given. Also in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 25:4, "Thou shalt not muzzle the ox when he treadeth out the corn." Now there's another passage I want you to look at that gives some light onto this. It's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And get there. Here we are, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Excuse me. In 1 Corinthians 9, we're talking about the Deuteronomy passage that's quoted here by Paul in to Timothy, "Thou shalt not muzzle the ox when he treadeth out the corn." In 1 Corinthians 9, beginning in verse 9, it says, "For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn." And then he asks a question. He says, "Doth God take care of oxen?" In other words, did God say that so that the oxen that treads out the meal of corn will be able to eat? Was he just interested in that? And the answer is, or saith he altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. For, if we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? Now, what is he talking about, the spiritual things and the carnal things, other than if they, as ministers, as pastors even, as he used it here with Timothy as the elder, to these elders, if they have ministered the spiritual things unto the congregation, to the church, is it any big deal if they benefit from the carnal things, money, provisions, remuneration that the church would give. It's why God gave the illustration, according to the Apostle Paul, not to take care of oxen, but to take care of those that were ministering in the word. Verse 13 of 1 Corinthians 9, do you not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple? And they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar? Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. And so it is that truth that he is sharing here with Timothy concerning how to treat these elders and honoring them. And that honoring is both remuneration and it is respect. There is a respect that is to be given. According to 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 12 and 13, it says, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Right, that's the pastor. And to esteem them very highly in love for their works' sakes. And so it is important to recognize that what is to be done is to be given this honor, which is a respect, and also it is a remuneration. God knows the heart attitude of people, how that if they truly honor with respect the pastor, they're going to take care of the financial needs of the pastor. Can I say very quickly, y'all have done a tremendous job in that category in my life, and I thank the Lord for you constantly. While all good pastors are to be cared for in this way, Paul singles out some as worthy of double honor. What does that mean? Well, it's not necessarily talking about double salary from what pastors normally get. But what is it talking about there? I believe it's an ample, generous remuneration and respect beyond that of others. So let's look at why. Why is this to be done? Who is worthy of double honor? There are two qualifications that he gives. Number one is found in verse 17. These pastors, these elders, these bishops, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. All right, there is the ruling well. There's because they have done a good job of being the pastor, elder, and bishop. They've presided over the church. They've guided the church as the bishop. They've personally been growing and being an example to follow as an elder. And they've been feeding and caring for and leading the flock as the pastor in a good way. Because the pastor is over the congregation, he has a great responsibility. Hebrews 13:17 says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. I don't know what all you heard in that verse, but I hear this loud and clear. As the pastor must give an account for the people. Wow, is that fair? Why should I have to give an account for you? I've got to give an account for me. But as pastor, I have a responsibility to do what is right before the Lord as your pastor to you. And part of that is in doing it in such a way that I give an account for what I've done for you. If I fail, let's use the watchman on the wall as an example, as we're told in the Old Testament, an example. Who was the watchman on the wall? In the city, the wall built, Jerusalem, wherever. If enemy was coming, the watchman on the wall had responsibility to warn the people in the city. If he warned the people in the city and the people heeded, oh, very good. If he warned the people in the city and the people did not heed, very bad for them. The watchman did his job. If the watchman saw them coming and failed to warn the people, bad for the people, but it's bad for the watchman because he didn't do his job. And so all of that works together with the responsibility that's there. I have a responsibility as the watchman on the wall to make sure that I share with you the truth of God's word, that you have what God has said in order to be able to respond to that, and that's your choice. But I want to give an account that you have had the opportunity to hear and to learn the truth of God's word. And that's my responsibility that I have. I am to be a good pastor doing a good job, ruling well, if I have done this with excellence of sharing that truth. Not only is he to rule well, but because they labor hard in the word of God and in doctrine. Look at the rest of that verse. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. In the word puts much effort into the study of the word of God, the preparation of the word of God in order to preach. They labor hard in the word of God and doctrine. They labor in the word. What is the word? In a general way, the word would have to do with in speaking, public proclamation of the truth. It's what I'm doing right now. It's called preaching. There's a difference between teaching and preaching, and I tend to do both. I believe both is important. Teaching has to do with imparting knowledge. Okay, the doctrines. The word means the teachings. And so there's an imparting of knowledge. Do you know it's possible that I could stand up here and teach you, and you could leave out of here never being impressed to do anything about it? Because all I did was impart knowledge. But then there must be the encouragement to follow that, or in light of that doctrine, how should you leave out of your living today? That's preaching. Preaching has to do with taking the truth of the Word of God and presenting that as the truth and confronting, in some instances, when people are not doing right, not picking out certain people, but picking out certain sin and saying, you know, this is what the Word of God says about it. Don't be guilty of that. And then there is the admonition, a warning. If you neglect, if you walk away from this and you do not follow, this is what tends to happen, God says. And then there's the exhortation of encouraging not to let that happen, but to respond favorably, to be obedient to God's word. That's all part of the preaching. The word of God is the speaking, the public proclamation, the exhortation, the admonition, and then the doctrine, the teaching that equips with information. But the preaching encourages for the response. The pastor who puts forth great effort to be prepared to do both, that is the pastor that's worthy of double honor. That's what the scripture is speaking about here. So it is, in closing, that I may say, it is my awesome privilege to be the pastor of God's church. It is also my joy to be your pastor in this church. With any privilege that I have comes what? Responsibility. I have a responsibility to meet God's standards in my life, the qualifications of being a pastor. And I have the responsibility to meet God's standards in ministry. We saw them a little bit over in chapter 4, verses 6 and following, where he began saying there in verse 6, put the brethren in remembrance. If you put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, etc. He goes on down and speaks about being an example of believers. He talks about taking heed unto thyself and to the doctrine. And so it is a responsibility then, and to meet God's standards of ministry, that I remind you so often of things that you know.
Like 2 Corinthians 3:18.
And that you can't do what you don't. How can you please God if you don't know what pleases Him? And all of these things you know, all of these things I've drilled, but all of these things still have to be reminded. It's part of being a good minister of Jesus Christ, the Word of God says. It is improving personally in my life and growing. God, as the lady's saying there, He's not through working on us. But He's going to continue to perform that in us that He desires. And He desires for you and for me to be just like the Lord Jesus Christ. I know about both of us. We ain't got there yet. He is still working on that process, and we're to be still letting Him and putting forth the effort to get there. And so we are to be growing. I'm to be growing. I'm to be exemplifying. I'm to be involved in all of that together as the pastor. It is also the church's privilege to have a pastor that teaches and preaches the truth. And with that privilege comes responsibility. What is that responsibility? It's to listen and to learn God's truth. 2 Timothy 2:15, many of y'all know to quote it. Study, so that show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing. We are to be able to rightly divide God's truth, God's word. But you know, it doesn't just happen. I thought of it this way. You know, many of our smartphones today have the capability, whether it's through Bluetooth or through an app that they have in sharing, that when it gets close to another device, whether it's another phone or whether it's another, your computer or whatever, that it syncs together with it. You know what that is? I found out the hard way. I had the wrong button and I synced my phone and my calendar with the church's calendar, and it was out on the website with the doctor appointment. When I was going to cut the grass or whatever. Well, how did all that get on my church calendar? Saint. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could come into church on Sunday and just sink? Impart that knowledge. But you know, it doesn't work that way. The only way it works is by work. It takes effort. The word study, to show thyself approved, means to put forth effort, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Why? Because you're rightly dividing God's truth. It takes effort to do that. And so part of the responsibility of having a pastor that's going to teach and preach the Word of God is to listen and learn the Word of God that's being taught, to put forth that effort to let it sink deep inside. We use the word that way, differently spelled. Another responsibility is to surrender to apply God's truth. It's not enough just to know what God's Word says if you're not going to live by it. Jesus had much to say about folks that said that they were followers of His, but did not do the things that He said. Wise man built his house upon the rock. God say that so we know how to build our houses out here on strong foundations. He said, he that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, he it is I liken is the wise man that built his house upon the rock. He that hears these sayings of mine, walks out and doesn't do them, I liken him unto the foolish man that built his house upon the sand. You want to have your house stand the test of the storms. We need to be on the solid rock. That rock, and not only is Christ, it's His Word. And it's not just knowing His Word here, but it is surrendering to do His Word out there. And so I encourage you not just to listen to the truth that is taught and preached, but to surrender to do to the best of you can in obedience to that truth. That's what God wants of us. One ministry verse that I chose 31 years ago was 1 Samuel 12:23, that says, "Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and the right way." I need to pray for you, and I need to teach you the good and the right way. And that's a responsibility. The apostle said they chose out deacons. He said, so that we can give ourselves unto the Word of God and prayer. The emphasis has always been in that area. And Paul brings it home for the pastor that's going to be worthy of any honor, especially double honor, that he would rule well in the church and that he would labor well and hard in the Word of God and in the teachings. Let's commit to pray for each other. If you pray for me as your pastor, that I can both be who I should be and do what I should do, and I'll commit to pray for you for the same things. Every head bowed, please. How are you today, right now, in the responding to the Word of God? You hear the truth, not just this message. You hear it in Sunday school. You read it yourself at home. You hear a message preached, our Bible study on Sunday nights. Truth. But what do you do with that truth? Do you check off that you came and heard it? Or do you leave out and say, Lord, help me to live it? I pray for the second. Father, I ask that you would help us to see our heart, our life, our responses to your word. And then we would adjust as you prompt our hearts this morning. Help us not to wait, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for